Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing a conversation, not just in any ordinary conversation, a conversation that will evolve itself around life, love, relationships, and let's make it provocative if we're going to do that. If we're going to have a conversation, why not be provocative? And let's do this while we're talking. Let's basically shoot for an honest self-evaluation. And let's say some things that, you know, other folks might be scared to say. If we're going to do all that, let's get three cats together in different parts of the country and have them give their perspective. One being Mark Elliott, and one Mr. Charles, and Mr. DeMaurice. Then we'll do. We'll call it one black mentor. What's going on, Belgium? What's up, Frankfurt, Germany? Well, thank you all for giving us a listen in other parts of USA that's kind of tuning in to One Black Mentor. We appreciate you giving us an ear. We get together once a week, preferably. Sometimes we don't make it. Things happen. Life happens. So when it doesn't happen, no big deal. But lately we've been getting together on a Sunday morning and doing some talking. You know, talking. And it's different sometimes when men talk because realistically, men, if I think about it overall, in a sense, men have probably are listeners because men, in a sense, don't really engage in lengthy conversations. We kind of stay a little, we kind of get out of the way. So more or less, we have kind of taken the role on being listeners as being talkers, but not here. We do a combination of both. We listen and talk. And I want to invite one cast in that's going to be doing some talking and listening, none other than one Mr. Say it ain't so. DeRice, how you feeling, bro? Good morning.
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. It's a great morning. Happy Mother's Day to all that are listening right now.
Yeah, when this show probably kicks in, it probably be beyond Mother's Day. So, yeah, you're right, man. We're going to wish you all the mothers and a great Mother's Day and a great year, actually, because I'm one of those who believe that Mother's Day should kind of go all year. It shouldn't just kind of stop on one day. It's nice to kind of take, you know, time aside and set a day aside on the calendar to do such, but mothers deserve to be honored every single day. I mean, the work, the things they do, we could not pay them enough to be just that, just to be a mom. We're going to go into talking about mothers a little later on this show and take a little different look, man. I think sometimes we might forget how valuable I take for granted how valuable mothers are and what mothers were kind of meant to be, and we kind of look at them in a different sense over the years as men. Mr. Charles, good morning, man. Welcome, 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 welcome. And a happy belated birthday to you, bro. We ain't going to talk about your age, but we're happy that you're growing up in age, man. And seeing another one, how you feeling? Good morning.
Blessed, bro. Appreciate it. Yeah, the age is what it is. If I feel at this point in your life, if you are a person struggling with your age, I mean, what you going to do? I'm blessed to be here, blessed to have experienced what I have been able to do in life. And I'm going to ride this out, bro. That's what we do.
Yes, sir. It's interesting. Last show, we talked about the heart and how the mind is connected to the heart. And I remember thinking, I didn't say it last time, I want to drop this in now, especially for men in a sense, about our hearts and stuff of that nature, because here again, our heart does so much and we kind of forget it until something's wrong with it, until a doctor says X, Y, Z, then we start to pay attention. But one thing, I've kind of stated this before, I'm a personal trainer, so I'm always kind of reading and gathering information and just kind of learning and expanding my mind on the body, health in general. And I remember reading this story about this doctor in a foreign country, and he said for men to avoid heart problems and to strengthen your heart, he said two things that you should be able to do, especially if you're over 40 or 50. Realistically, you should be able to sit on the floor or lay on the floor and get up without using anything to pull yourself up. And he said that's something you should be able to do. And he said if you can't do that, work to do such, because if you can't, simple as this may sound, you may have heart issues or you're on your way to having heart problems. And he said a form of doing something that you should be able to do after 40, and again, if you can't get this right now, work to get it, he said you should be able to do 40 push-ups without stopping. Now, push-ups aren't easy. You know, it's a body weight type of exercise, and it can be tough. But if you're going to do one or two, do one or two. But you want to get to the point where you should be able at some point get your level up to 40, and that's where a healthy heart resides for a man over 40 and beyond. Something to think about. I mean, something to think about because, again, we kind of, to me, sometimes we take our heart for granted until something goes wrong, and then we look back and we go, whoa. And preventive medicine is the best medicine. So do what you can. Before you do any strenuous exercise, also always check with your doctors first to make sure that you can perform these two things, the two tasks. Gentlemen, we love to do salutes here on this show. And at some point, man, I want you guys to come with some salutes, man. I'm always doing a salute, and there's got to be somebody out there, you two favorite, man, that you think that should be talked about. And I'm going to open up to where you guys start doing salutes, if you don't mind. But I want to salute a cat that just got married recently for the second time. And something about, you know, I came across him at a younger age. He's a little older than me. I kind of rolled with him for a period of time. And this cat has basically allowed me through music to connect my spiritual soul and grow it over the years. And I'm talking about one Marvin Lewis Winans, a preacher, gospel singer, was with the group The Winans. And this cat here, the songs, and they made it hard for me. And I think about it, The Winans made it hard for me to listen to current day gospel. Because back then they wrote and sung songs that had meaning. And even to this day, I go back and I listen to them. They still resonate. And then I turn on current day gospel, and I'm lost. I can't find anything that just kind of even connected to the same. But it's interesting. I remember years ago, and it happened to be on Mother's Day. And this is going back about maybe 30-some-odd years, maybe about over 35 years ago. I had worked that day at the radio station. I did the morning slot, and they were performing in Hartford, Connecticut, which is about 45 minutes away from New Haven. They were performing and decided I was going to go to the show. And ironically, when I got there, there wasn't a lot of people there. To be Mother's Day, maybe that was it. But at that time, the Winans were strong. There wasn't a lot of people in the audience. And when I got there, there was a couple of family members that I knew that were there. My cousin Michelle and cousin Rosalyn was there. So they started performing, man. They ran through their songs, and I just felt, you know, something going on throughout there. You know, I'm singing the songs. I'm standing up into the service. And I remember towards the end, towards the end of the performance, they did an altar call. And I remember I might have been like 20 rows back, and it seemed like there was a chord or a vibe kind of pulling me to go to the stage and walk up. And my cousin Rosalyn at the time walked up. I don't know if she sensed something or she's seen it, but she walked up and said, if you want to go, I'll walk up with you. I said, no, I'm good right here. So I stood there and basically kind of had my moment with God at that point and never went to the stage. And sometimes I look back and wonder, you know, how things might have been different and why I didn't go. But I say that to say that there's been moments, I'm sure, in all of our lives that we can identify where something has brought us closer to him, our Heavenly Father. And I salute Marvin Winans because, again, I go back to his music, and no matter how old it is, the lyrics, his singing, something about it. For the past month and a half, I've been going to YouTube looking at some videos, man. I can tell you, just listening to some of their songs, I've given my tear ducts and a serious working out. And sometimes I'm not sure why, man. It's just, it gets to a certain part of the song, and here it comes. So I want to give you guys an opportunity, if you want to speak on, there's been something, maybe a moment in your life where, if you look back on it, could have been years ago, could have been last week, for that matter. I'll come to you first, Mr. Charles. Something that that kind of stood out, where the moment that you experienced, kind of unreal, so unreal, or at the same time, very real. And when you realize it and you think about it, you realize it was that connection with the our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, I've had a couple, but I'll stick with one that's probably more recent. I know that for a while, because I got baptized real early in life, I kind of got a real connection, I thought, like, to the Lord. And we used to go to church all the time. But then there was a point where things changed with my life. My dad was having some issues, So nobody made me go to church. Nobody made me continue to follow the Lord. And, you know, I went into my 20s, I guess, wilding out a little bit, a lot. Anyway, but I always made a confession that I would never forsake the Lord. I would always keep him close to my heart. But at the same time, I was going to be young and wild a little bit. And I said that. And I'm like, I was going to tell God that, right? Anyway, I said that. And I didn't go to, I was going to church, but I would not join the church for a while. So I got into my career, got busy. And then after a while, I got closer to like maybe my, getting close to 40. I said, I'm not walking away, but one day I want to come back. So I started going to this church for like a year, 2 years. And I used to go to church every Sunday because I like the pastor. I like what was going on. And then one day I think I took a trip and came back from the trip. And I said, well, when I come back from my trip, I feel real good about this. I'm going to join the church. And I was like, I'm ready to do it. So I get there on that Sunday, and they make the altar call, the, you know, doors of the church are open, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not going up there. I don't care what I said. I changed my mind. I was feeling good, feeling great. I was like, I'm not going up there. And as the moment continued to progress, something overcame me. My spirit overcame me. And I found myself walking, even though I kept in my mind saying no. But I know that the Lord working for me because I could have stood there and fought it. But this overwhelming sensation overcame me like, it's time. It's time. You know, who's in here? And it was more or less like, it's time. You say you believe what you see, you believe in what you say, you know, what you're going to do. You believe in me. It's time to walk. It's not about these people. It's about you. So I walked up there and I joined the church. And the funny thing about it afterwards, after I joined them, you know, they tell you, oh, welcome, brand new member in front of everybody. A few of the members in there, the deacons were like, we thought you'd already joined the church. We thought you were in the river already. You've been coming there for 2 years on the regular. I was like, yeah, nah. But it's just that point where it shows you, for myself anyway, that no matter how much I tried to fight it, when the time was right, I had to obey because it was what I needed to do.
Good story, man. Appreciate you sharing. Mr. DeMaurice, you know, we're at this point now where, you know, if you stop and think about it, man, we went through a time that in the past couple of years, this country has been rocked, bro, and still kind of dealing with, to an extent, what they call a pandemic, gave a nice high-tech name to a virus, and it affected the world, not only the United States of America, it affected the world and affected a lot of people. And I kind of felt when it happened, there was something for us to gain out of that. It was something for us to kind of stand back and observe, and it was, you know, slowing us down to really kind of pay attention to some things that are really important, how we kind of lost our way. And I feel for those that paid attention and understood or really kind of seeked and looked inside and looked in deeply inside, we could have all got something out of it individually. But with all that being said, man, when we stop and think about it, still here, and it's not that it wasn't by design for us not to be here. Through His grace and mercy, we're still here, and we're still, you know, waking up each morning and giving Him thanks and living the gift of life. So with that being said, man, I kind of wanted to take some time out and have us kind of go back to a time in life where something happened, and even if we may have woke up to it or didn't, in spite of, man, allow us to here. But something happened in the religious part where you, at that moment, you felt a strong connection with Heavenly Father.
Yeah, years ago, there was a lot of changes in my life where, you know, I was going through a divorce and fighting through that. I think I had started a new position and dealing with the challenges of that. And I had to move in with a friend of mine who was way in a south suburb. And so it really didn't make sense for me to drive through traffic. So I was taking the train, the metro train, that basically leaded me right to the job that I was doing every day. And that was kind of like the really first time that I kind of used public transportation to kind of go to work. So, but I've used public transportation all my life. And it was one morning where it just seemed like it was all kind of confusion all around and getting on the train, you know, dealing with the hustle and bustle with, you know, folks trying to get to work and going to their destinations and all that other stuff. And so I'm standing, you know, taking the Metro downtown, and all of a sudden I didn't hear this voice in my ears. It was not audible. It was more to my heart. And the voice said, "How does it feel to be protected?" So I'm kind of looking around to see if somebody else is saying something. And I just said with my lips, I didn't say it out loud, and I said, "It feels good." And all of a sudden, this kind of calm came to me. So in moments where I feel that, you know, fast forwarding to now during the pandemic and through a lot of different situations, you always feel that protection. You always feel like things are going to be okay. You know, it's just calming, kind of soothing kind of feeling you get where in the midst of chaos, you know, you're the quiet, you know, that eye of that storm where it's really calm. And so, yeah, that happened maybe like 2000, 2001. And I never forgot that inner voice. And when people say that, you know, that God lives within you and the Creator lives within you, you know, I subscribe to that, because you think about the universe that we live in, all the elements that are out in the universe, we are the same. We're made up of the same particles, the same elements. And so that ain't by accident. That's not by accident. If you really listen, it's not listening in your ears, it's listening to your heart. You'll hear that voice every now and then that tells you, you know, things that you need to hear at that particular moment. And it's not something that, you know, you're sitting there waiting to listen to. It just comes when it comes. It's not something that, hey, you know, voice, say something. No, it's not like that. It just comes when it's almost like you need it the most, or it just takes you to a place, or takes you to a kind of a nest. Like, you know, if you have a mama bird and, you know, the baby birds are in the nest, and it's like taking you to that nest where you know you're going to be safe, you know you're going to be protected. And it's not the voice that's the audible voice that somebody's saying something in your ear. It's that voice, that inner voice, that when you're quiet and you're at your quietest and you're in that storm, that voice just comes and goes, "I got you." So, yeah, that's, and it comes every now and then. It doesn't come, you know, every day, things of that sort. You know, you would like it to, but it comes when you need it. It comes when you need it, and it comes unexpectedly. And it's a pleasant
it's interesting
feeling to have.
Beautiful. Interesting, man, because I was going to say, we, you know what I know about us three, we all have someone or people in our lives that introduced us to our Heavenly Father in many ways, you know, talked about it. We, you know, found a way to church and stuff of that nature. But what's really kind of surprising, not the norm for a lot of folks, it's not. I mean, a lot of people have been brought up, have been raised, and have no idea that he's available to them. He lives, he resides inside of them, as you spoke. And he's available, and he's there for the good. And sometimes in life, when you don't have that, you know, what are you thinking? You know, are you feeling loved? Are you feeling honored? Are you feeling cherished? Are you feeling worthy of being loved? And that's something I want us to kind of spend a little time on, because, as I said earlier, I was, you know, looking at some videos of Marvin Winans, and this is a song. I even tried to find this song. I'm not sure if he ever recorded, but he said he wrote this song 40 years ago. And the song, that, to me, just rings out of importance because, and it carries on to the importance of today, because it basically says who's going to tell them. And he stresses the fact that who's going to tell people, in a sense, that don't know that Jesus loved them and he can turn their nights into day. And I, you know, the more I listened to the song over and over, and one morning I woke up and I had to go play it. I had to go turn it on. I had to go play it. Now, for some reason, as soon as my eyes opened, it was a driving force into me to go play it. And it came to me, you know, in a sense that, you know, we have a lot of mental complications going on. Different people are feeling different things. And then a lot of times people are facing situations and tribulations. And at that time, if you're not aware, if you haven't really established, understand your uniqueness, the power of God, what are you thinking? What are you really thinking and what are you feeling? Because you could feel at that time that you're left alone. You're doing this all by yourself. You feel there's no answer. There's no resolve. You know, it's bigger than you. You don't know how you can handle it. Imagine if we didn't know what we know. This is what we'll be, I think we'll be feeling, what we'll be experiencing. And if they weren't given some of what we were given, we were blessed to have it given to us, that we took it basically and strengthened it on our own, you know, I think they would feel a sense of loss. I think they would feel a great sense of loss, not a small sense, but great. And then it's like, okay, if they don't know at that point, who's going to tell them? Because the people that should have informed them and allowed them to understand and develop that relationship and understand of his greatness, you know, I'm not going to blame them, but if they fell short, where are they going to get it from? How is it going to come? And that's where I think it comes to us, but those that do know, to kind of make sure that they get it and get it, even if it's a small form. It doesn't have to be in a big way. But I think it could be in a small form. And it came to me to say, you know, there's been times we have conversations with people, and sometimes we can feel something may not be right or whatever, and they may not be telling us that everything that's going on, but we know that something could be going on in the midst of their world that just ain't correct. And I know Mr. Charles said a few weeks ago, you know, we have to do a better job of kind of sorting out, and he's right. When we come across, because we don't know what people are going through on a daily basis. But I think even in the midst of all of that, if we could just tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I do too. Even if you don't put an I love you in there, just let them know he. Because to me, when the mind and the spirit hears that, it's going to open them up to something. I mean, it's going to open them up. I remember a guy said that to me a while ago in passing. I was helping him doing something. And he said, Mark, you know, you're a great guy. Jesus loves you. And I remember when he walked off, I didn't even know the guy. I was just helping him do something. When he walked off, it left me pondering. What would make him say that to me at that point? You know, what would make him say it? And maybe it wasn't him saying it. Maybe it was the Almighty speaking through him to tell me. And that's what I'm shooting for. You know, for me, that's where I'd like to go, because there are a lot of people that are sitting in situations that need to be healed or whatever. And they're sitting there thinking, I can work this all on my own. In reality, they can't. They can think it all night and day, but they're not going to be able to figure that out. But when you have someone, you know someone loves you enough, cares about you, to see it go through, it, I'm sure it just opens up some sunshine, allows some rays of sunshine to start to come in. So I'm going to throw this back to you, Mr. DeMaurice, and just something I'm thinking that we should start doing, bro. You know, I'm going to get your opinion on it, but I'm just thinking that we, out of our mouths, the ones that know, you know, we know of his goodness, we've seen it, we experience it, we live it on a daily basis, we have to find a way to let them know that he loves them. We have to kind of, and it could be with a simple, we could put it in a text, we could put it in a conversation, a voicemail. And I think at first people, when they hear from me, they're going to look at you a little strange, and they might wonder, you know, carrying a Bible in your back pocket, whatever. But no, it's not about all that. It's about letting them know that, you know, whatever you might be going through, whatever you might be seeing, you may not be understanding. He hasn't forsaken you. He's still there. I just want to get your reaction to that, sir.
Yeah, I think that there are people who do that, and they give you messages through, you know, the universe through that. But I also think it's through your actions. I really do think, I think we speak not in vocals. I think we speak through our actions and how we treat people. And I say that because I have one of my best friends, I call him my brother. His name is Daryl Bush, and he lives here in Chicago, in the suburbs somewhere. He's from Chicago. And one of the things that he's been a minister for years, and one of the things I always admired him about is that he doesn't preach to you. He doesn't preach to you. But if you ask for advice or ask for things, or ask for more knowledge, he gives it to you. And one of the things I love about him, not only he's a good person, he does it through his actions, he does it through his words, but he accepts you for who you are. He doesn't try to change you. He doesn't try to, you know, preach to you, oh, you should be doing this, that, the other. He accepts you, and you see his example, and you want to go and ask him questions. You want to go and find out more things. And I think that is, with the speaking and all that other stuff, he speaks through his actions. And you see him, and you're around him, and he's always making you feel good. He's not judging you. He's not, you know, saying, well, you ought to do this, that, the other. He's just who he is, and he accepts you for who you are. And every time you're around him, you want to be better. And, you know, and he's not saying, hey, you need to do better. He's doing it through his actions. He's doing it through his words, his kindness, him, you know, helping you out. I remember I had to go to the hospital. I didn't have anybody else to call. And I called him. I said, can you come by, get my keys, grab me some stuff that I need from the house? You know, he said, well, what do you need? I said, well, you know, I need, you know, you know, I'm going to be here like for 3 days, so I'm going to need another change of clothes. I'm going to need this, that, the other. And so I'm waiting for him to come and pick up the keys. And I see him, and he comes in with his bag with everything I need. He bought it. He didn't even go to the house. He didn't even bother going out. Just bought it. Say, man, you know, don't worry about the keys, all the stuff. Here, here's all the stuff you need. Toothbrush, all this stuff. I mean, I'm sitting there like, bro, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. I got family members that wouldn't even do that. But here you are, stepping through the door doing this. So I understand what you're saying about the words, but I think people speak through their actions where you know that it's coming from a place that is beyond them, and they're doing it from the kindness in their heart, and they're doing it from the Creator's will to you know, take care of his own. So, yeah.
Mr. Charles, there's plenty of us that not aware, man. We're not aware that when that light gets dark, when we're faced certain obstacles, things come in the way, and we can't see, we can't grab that, you know, little small mustard seed of faith. We can't do it. They don't know not to. Has been explained to them, and they don't may not buy into it for a lack of understanding and a lack of knowledge. You know, how could we, the ones that know, you know, how could we be the ones that basically open up, allow them to start to kind of get themselves to that journey of understanding that he loves them? What could be a way potentially we can do such?
I think D. Marie hitting on the head when you mentioned about his other friend, the other gentleman, that to meet people where they live, man. If you understand who a person is, you spend time with them, you're a friend or relative, or whatever, a loved one, you pretty much have understood where they're at and who they are. And you know a lot of their story. So instead of doing it, trying to judge them, look at them some kind of way, then I think it's easier that way, because as you mentioned, not too many people want you to come at them when you're preaching. You know, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants you to be belittling them, or you may come at them a certain kind of way or too strong. If you meet them where they live, you introduce them to them and have more of a discussion and to talk about with some things and let them open up. Sometimes the best thing you can do is listen. Listen to them, and then if they come and need more guidance or counseling or whatever it may be, then you can add to it. But meeting them where they live and listening goes a long way. And when the time is right, if you're the true friend, the true loved one, as you know, and these are considered some of maybe the strongest people that you may know, when the time is right, they'll let you know when they're ready to receive what you have to say.
We have two things I want to do this month. For the month of May kind of ends this up. I want to definitely us do maybe the last show of the month. We do a letter to our ancestors. And then even that show or before that letter, we all have someone that gets on our last nerve or may have done something to rub us the wrong way, or we look at them. We're not just keen about them in general. And I want us to take that person, or maybe persons, we have a bunch, for that matter. But I want us to basically take someone that we're not keen on, and I want them to start, want us to start to look at that individual and see them through Jesus. Because it's a way of doing such, I believe we could start to see them in a different light and forgive them for some things that we might be mad at them at. Mad at them about. So, I think that's something that's going to take a little while to develop, you know, but if we start today and think about it, in a couple of weeks we'll have someone and we'll be able to kind of give a clear, we can tell why we felt the way we felt, and then as we looked through them in a Jesus light, we might see them in a different light and see things different. So we'll move to that in a couple of weeks, and of course, again, we're going to do... we're going to do letters to our ancestors. In the meantime, we're going to take a little break and come back. Let's get into the maternal love. That's Mother's Day today. But once I said earlier, which this show may not air until after Mother's Day, but we'll give the honor to the mothers. It's One Black Man Talk, Mr. Jim Reese, Mr. Charles, Mark Elliott. Thanks for giving us a listen.
When we lied, we put my Lord to shame. Ever since he arose, men and women been calling Jesus' name. Yeah. How good it feels to be loved.
How wonderful it is
when you've been rejected and been pushed aside.
Very early in pregnancy, when maternal love is his presence, is known as a strong, intensive force, which creates a strong and lifelong bond from a mother and child. So in the womb of all three of us and all of us, in a sense, maternal love kicked in long before we took our first breath of oxygen. And it basically has been riding ever since. And when we think about the deepness and the fondness we have of our mothers, there it goes. Even we at that time can't express it or say it. It's kind of instilled in the early part of pregnancy, very early part of pregnancy. And again, his love makes presence known, you know, his. Ooh, you know, speaking of, we say hits. You know, mother love is extremely important for healthy emotional outcome of her children. I want to stop right there because, and spend a little time if we kind of move on, because we come across folks sometimes that just aren't emotionally healthy, Mr. DeMaurice. And And just hearing that, a mother's love is extremely important for a healthy emotional outcome of her children. And I'm not trying to pick blame and pick fault, but we talk, we say, we don't shy away from it. But I'm wondering if there's a connection when you come across a grown adult that is not healthy emotionally. Can we bring that back to the mama's love?
Yeah, we can. You know, because our mothers and our fathers, but we're going to stick with mothers now, but parents prepare us, and their job is to prepare us. And I was reading years ago, and I kind of took this mantra up that, as far as a child, it's you can't help but feel ownership, but you don't own your children. But the best thing you can do is prepare them for the life that, the society and life that's going to be ahead of them. And if the mom is not well adjusted, and if she is not emotionally sound, it's going to affect the child in some kind of way. You're going to see some things, you're going to hear some things, you're going to experience some things that is going to make it seem that you're lacking in preparation on what life has to offer and what life is going to give you. So if a mother is not grounded and has some stability or some sense, and I'm not saying that mothers have to be perfect in doing this, because none of us are perfect, but to give a sense of stability, give a sense of calm, give a sense of how you should act, how you should kind of present yourself and how you should be, I think it makes it difficult for that child to grow up into adulthood to be adjusted, because mothers are our first teachers. They're our first teachers. We spend the majority of time with our mothers. We spend the 9 months or a little less maybe in the womb, and then, she's the first voice that we hear. She's the first heartbeat that we sense and feel. And so there is a major connection to that. And so even if you just get a little bit of that love and that steering you in the right direction and how important you are as a human being, you're going to be fine. But if you don't, you're going to be lost in some kind of ways. And what I found, and maybe this is going beyond what we're talking about now, is that what I found when I lost my mother years ago, that there were other mother figures that were always there that just stepped right into place to make sure that, that you're going to be okay, that you still had that presence of a mother there. To help guide you, to look after you, to give you that sense of stability that you needed to make through this life. So even though I know all of us have lost our moms, I know that they're motherly figures who just stepped right in. It was just automatic. It was just something a part of them that said, you know what, I know you lost your biological mother, but you still got a mother, a spiritual mother, or a mother that is going to be here whenever you need to talk, or you need to, cry a little bit. If you need guidance, I'm here. So I thank the Creator for those women who step up to be that motherly figure to keep you on the straight and narrow and to guide you and to help you in your journey as an adult, even though you might have lost your mother. earlier in life, a little later in life, it's always that kind of sense that you can go to somebody, you can go to a motherly figure, and she just, she just takes on that role and just keeps guiding you as much as you need to be guided.
Mother love is extremely important for the healthy emotional outcome of her children, Mr. Jones. And as I said to Mr. DeMaurice, It is ironic sometimes you come across folks and you see the emotional is not healthy, it's out of whack, it's out of source. And this is not to point blame, but in essence, you wonder, how does it tie back to the love of their mom? Your response, sir.
Yeah, I can see how that would cause a major problem because, you know, I have relatives, some other folks that they know that I know have had some very troublesome lives, started with their childhood and now they're adults. Some of the thing is that they're just lost at times because of their actions. But, you know, for myself, you know, I lost my mom real early in life. And DeMaurice mentioned you have other people that stepped up. My first stepmom, she was very connected with me. She didn't have children and never went on to have her own children, but we had a connection that was second to none. She was my mom. She was always there for me, even though her and my mom. Individuals that just don't have that connection, I think they feel empty. And when they don't receive anything to fulfill that emptiness, it can drive you bonkers. People ask me about my mom, lose my mom early, and I'm like, well, the one thing I knew, two things that really let me know, I used to be told all the time about how much my mother loved me, and I knew about the sacrifice she made to have me physically. But there was one picture, there's a picture that my mother, that they took of my mother and I think I was like 1 year old, and she's holding me, I'm standing up like on her lap, and I'm smiling, and she's looking at me smiling, and it's like, it's so, the energy is so real, so real. And then on the back of the photo, there's some writing, and it's like a little small, it's two words, my baby. And man, that's enough. I mean, I wish I had more time, but I know through that connection, as Dina Lee said earlier, she loved me. She loved me unconditionally and what she was willing to sacrifice to connect me with that. So all the other stuff, I wish I had more time and other stuff. But truthfully, that's all I needed because I know what she felt. And what's really sad about that is for the other people, even though they have more time or may not have an experience what that love is from their moms, I feel for them because they're empty. And it's driving them crazy, which is why their lives oftentimes, I believe, have spiraled out of control. They don't feel loved. And that's something, bro. We don't feel loved, especially from your mama or other women in your life that can feel that void.
That's deep, man. It is. When you really stop and think about it and give it some thought, and I don't think a lot of times when we see that with individuals, we make the connection, we just kind of automatically assume one thing or another. But some of the basic stuff that he, our Heavenly Father, put in place for us to have and needed when we were younger, you start subtracting a lot of those things away. You're basically eroding the foundation of who we should be as far as being stable. It's just, you know, the foundation is not real strong and stable. You can't build on a foundation that's basically wobbly. And if you take away a mother's love, you got a wobbly foundation, bro, emotionally. You just do. And, again, it's not to point fingers. It's just to understand and see what's really going on. Because sometimes we spend a lot of time asking and searching, and we can just kind of, it's simple, go back and trace. It's real simple. A mother's love is deep. We all know that, but it's deep and all-embracing. It's accepting, nourishing, nurturing, warm, safe, supportive, and it soothes a place inside of our hearts. Now, you know, you hear all that, Mr. Charles, and you go to yourself, wow, that sounds like a type of woman that possess all of that you want to marry. I mean, if you can get all that in a woman, in a sense, and I think subconsciously when we decide we want to marry, that's what we're looking for. And I know it's been said a few times and we think about it. And a lot of times we kind of date someone that's similar to to our mother before we catch and realize that we're doing it sometimes. But realistically, when you hear all that, embracing, all accepting, nourishing, nurturing, warm, safe, supportive love that soothes a place in your heart. Tell me, that's not the qualifications of a wife.
No doubt. And I think it comes back to the point we said a couple weeks ago about men needing to be loved. When you mention those phrases and those things that that come across, it's about men needing to be loved. We can be strong. We can be the provider. We can be the protector. We can be a leader. But when you come home, when you put all that work in, and you get down to the business, and you feel like you can't go on, or you're just physically tired and mentally tired, you want to be able to come home and feel like you're, as you mentioned, that somebody cares for you. You know, somebody loves you. Somebody accepts you unconditionally because they know you're out there putting the work in to make things better for the family. And that goes a long way. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think that goes a long way with somebody accepting. I think it comes back to the point of somebody accepting you for you.
It's interesting, Maurice. You know, we look at that, we listen, and as a man, our hearts basically resonate with certain things. I always say men are not hard to understand if you truly want to understand a man. You know, there's a difference of trying to understand a man as opposed to wanting and having a man. To me, you should understand him first before you would want him or desire him. But the same thing for women. We should understand them as they understand us if we truly want to be with one and desire to be one and be fulfilled with one. But listing those things, what a mother's love is, damn, to me, bro, that's something you take to the altar right there, son. Your reaction.
Yeah, I do see those characteristics as things you want in your life. But for me, it's with the absence of being mothered by my mate. I don't want to be mothered. I want those characteristics of affection and care, but there's a thin line between what a mother provides as opposed to what a mate can really supply you with. And I want all that with the absence of you trying to be my mother, if you understand what I'm saying. Because there are some women who, because it now it becomes like, I don't have a man or a husband, now I have another child. And no, I'm not a child. And a mother can provide that thing because you are her child. But I do want those characteristics that as far as the unconditional love, caring, all that stuff a mother provides, but I don't want the mothering part. I don't want, you know, oh, mom, you know, to my mate. So
you don't want to be burnt from time to time, bro. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no,
you don't
I don't
want to be burnt from
burnt.
Time to time.
No, I can't be burnt. And, you know, and I don't want the bib under my chin, and you taking the spoon and feeding me and all that other stuff, which your mother does when you're a child. But one of the things that I know with my mom, For some reason, we had this connection where if she sat down, because my mother was a yeller, and she was a spanker, but as I got older, for some reason, we can connect where she could just sit down and talk and like, listen, I know. When she told me, I know how you feel, you felt it. You know, other people can say, yeah, I know how you feel. Like, you don't know what I feel. You don't need. But when my mom says, I know how you feel, I can feel what you're feeling. You know, you felt that connection. Now, if I could find a woman like that and we can have some serious conversation, I'd be good. I'd be golden. But I think what men are looking for is not a mother, but a connection you have where you know that somebody has their best interest, your best interest at heart. And if you can take that quality that moms, our moms gave to us, when Mr. Charles talks about that picture, my baby, you know, and that feeling he has, that there is no doubt that how this person cares about me and cares for me, that's what we're looking for. That's to be mothered, not to be, you know, treating us like a child or trying to manipulate. We didn't get that from our mothers. You know, most of us don't get that from our mothers. We get the guidance. We get the I care for you no matter what. And we honor that and we take that and we don't misuse it. We do not misuse it. When they said no matter what, that doesn't give us license to just do anything we want to do. It's like, this is something that's really sacred. This is something that's really delicate. And I don't want to disappoint her, because she's putting this faith in me that she believes that I can do this or I can be this. I do not want to disappoint her. And it's that kind of, you police yourself when you're out there doing stuff and you're going, you know what, I can't do this because I can't go back. I'll give you an example. When I was in school, one of my friends who was a Kappa wanted me to be a Kappa. And I'm like, man, I can't wear no jacket, pimp and die in front of my mom. I can't do that. That's dishonor. She ain't raised me to do that. I can't, no candy cane. I can't wear no jacket that says pimp or die. I don't want to be no pimp. I don't want her to see that and be disappointed. So you police yourself because you got this love from this woman that is not like no other, and you're saying no matter what, I ain't disappointing her because she got big plans for me and she believes in me so much and she knows me and she understands me that I'm not going to disappoint. And if women, if you can give us a love like that, you ain't got to worry about a guy cheating. You don't, because that's all we need to know that no matter what we're going through in life, we got somebody who got our back, and then we're going to have their back.
More than just a Mother's Day, we need to let them know that we understand their value and worth to our children and to us and to the world. You make mighty good points there, Mr. Rich. You're right, you know, that if we feel that. And you would think, you know, I would think realistically that a woman should know that she shouldn't have to mother her man. I mean, that's just not, he's not a man if you got to mother him. But those qualities that exist that a mother brings forth, you know, subconsciously, a lot of men are looking for it. Not they're looking for a mother, but they're looking for those qualities because, as you said earlier, she was our teacher, our first love. And we kind of go back to are first in a lot of ways. But with that being saying about mothers in general, I'm going to flip this to the men for a second, and I want to kind of just take it here for a little bit because I think as men, we have done mothers a disservice. Because of our pro-urge to create, we basically have looked at them in a sense. And we speak highly of mothers, and we see what they're capable of, the love and all that. I understand that. But I think we have turned that into our hunt and our lust to use their temple for something for our own personal satisfaction and our own enjoyment. And I think as men, we think it's cool. It's like something we've came up with and we kind of feel it's okay. And we kind of overlook that in a sense where we haven't focused on that because we understand for the most part why they were placed here on the earth. And what they're capable of doing that what we can't do. And we understand for the most part that we're visual creatures, but we take that visual creatures as a license, in a sense, to basically hunt for personal satisfaction as opposed to hunting for procreating. As men, we have basically lost step of that. And it's fine to take this day and happy mother day and mama day, all that other stuff. But the question I'm coming back to you with, Mr. Reese, in a sense, when you're hearing that and our thoughts as men, we have lost, I know we've lost their way. That's how we respond and how we treat them based on reality at the end of the day, trying to get a nut. Your response.
Yeah. Yeah, I think many of us as men, we fall victim to our hormones. So we let our hormones take charge instead of our minds and what we really need. as men. So we fall, and we live in a society where it pushes you to lose sight of your hormones and to just fall victim of your hormones and just go after immediate gratification, immediate pleasure. Sometimes when you're hurting or you're frustrated or whatever, that seems to be the only thing that kind of keeps you sane or keeps you kind of calm in a lot of different circumstances. But I think a big part of it is that we just fall victim to our hormones instead of really kind of thinking things through on what are the consequences of my actions if I do this and just go for my own pleasure, because it may not be pleasurable for everybody in the long run. So, yeah, I think the major part of what we do as men is that we become our own victims of our hormones and we let them take the lead instead of taking the leadership role as men and being men that we're supposed to be.
Mr. Charles, coming to you with this one in a sense where, again, we have kind of lost big time the purpose of her being here. Through our visionary, through our vision, as Mr. DeMarie says, through our hormones, that's our testosterone, all of that nature, we can throw that in a big bucket. And yeah, just being a man, we have abused, in my opinion, them in a sense sexually for our own personal satisfaction and gratification, not understanding that she's here to bring forth a child to deserve. Wanted to get you on this one, sir, your reaction.
No, I agree with that 100%. There are a lot of people, a lot of men that they're so much into seeing women as objects, right? You look at them and you see the physical appearance and you're like, oh, wow, you know, she's attractive, she's beautiful, she has this, she has that physically. But, you know, as you said, you bypass the whole point of who she is as a person, the overall person. And it's easy to do that because we lust, we look at, we want to, you know, engage, find out more about the person so we can eventually come across another conquest, right? That's what we're kind of taught. But when you understand that the original purpose of a woman, why she's here, and there's so much more to women, and that's the other part that I think that we as men fall short often. Some of us are so caught up in conquering and overcoming that when we meet a woman that may be a person that may not, you know, they may not understand that there's more to it themselves. They may be insecure. They may have some shortcomings. We as men, instead of taking advantage of that, should realize that, hey, maybe we need to take a step back and maybe work with this sister or educate her to let her know she deserves to be more seen as a queen, more cherished. Help her with her self-confidence instead of just taking her as an easy conquest, another mark on your, another notch on your belt. But we don't do that. We don't take time for that, especially people that is like, well, you know, she was, you know, we just hanging out, man. She was cool with it. But no, as a man, you realize what the situation is. You're supposed to step forward to go, I'm not going to take advantage of it because I can. Instead, I'm going to teach and I'm going to educate. And if something develops down the line because that person has matured, then that's what it is. But we don't do that. We look at our conquest as the main reason why we jump into things.
So true. So true, gentlemen. I want to kind of getting towards the end of the show. We're going to go into our questions in a little bit. But I want to take this and I'm going to move this over to this conversation in this topic, kind of move it over to next week's show. And next week's show, we're going to talk about the effects of pornography on the black man. And this kind of plays into it in a sense, because we all kind of grew up in a sense, some form at an early age, come across some form of pornography, nudity or something. And it kind of set the tone for what we just talked about. It kind of really set the tone. And a lot of us have been lost and kind of been driving down that highway for a long period of time, man. And that's kind of taken us away to think that we should be thinking. Well, thank you, too, for doing what you always do, man, bringing it real and bringing it strong and not being afraid to say what needs to be said and sharing your opinion, provocative as it is. We take a little break. We come back. We'll jump into some questions for Mr. DeMarie and Mr. Charles. This has been Black Man Talk. Appreciate you being right there. Give us a listen. first question of the week, sir.
All right. My question is, in your opinion, I know that the three of us, when we were younger and growing up, we were taught how to treat women. In your opinion, do you feel that women or young girls are taught how to treat men?
Some. I think some. There's some that were. Did they stick with it? Maybe not. I think in some cases, some were basically shown more so than taught, just like we were. You know, sometimes we had the conversation, sometimes we didn't. And sometimes the conversations we had were basically dumb conversations because they were conversations given to us by people that didn't know how to treat women themselves. So I think it works on both sides. I think that, you know, I think women have gotten a certain amount of education how they should handle and be with men. They may have gotten it verbally in some areas, but I think more of them have gotten it by example. And some of the examples have not been good. And what they've done is try to emulate what they've seen because, you know, you believe that's how things should go. And I said this before, a lot of times, even when things aren't working, they never stop, and men are guilty of this too. Things haven't worked. You never stop and pull back and analyze, okay, let me see why that didn't work. What did I do? What role did I play in that not working? And what could I do better? But we just believe we get bullheaded, we're stubborn, and we stay on the same path, and we keep getting the same results. So I think some, but I think a lot of them were shown and were given the idea how this is how you handle it. In a lot of ways, I know you said before, a few weeks ago, you said that a lot of women, you know, let the man believe he's leading, but they're really leading. And I believe that in some cases, but bruh, at the bottom of all that, that's manipulation. And manipulation sometimes is not basically written down and given to you in a tablet and tell you to read. It's shown to you. It's shown, and then when it works, come back and it's glorified and it's amped up and it's high five, you believe that's what you should be doing. And that's what some of the things they saw. Your response, Mr. Charles.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I agree with what Mark stated about some. I think there's a lot of women that have had bad examples or haven't had no example at all. So they kind of go off of what they've experienced or maybe how even a man treated him. So it's like, well, I'm not going to let nobody do that to me again. So they go off on that journey. But I think some women that do understand how to treat a man, they understand their worth first, right, their value. And I remember having a beautiful encounter talking to Pam Grier, and she put it down. She's like, you know what? Well, the women have to learn how to support their men and understand specific roles and support in a number of ways. But the one thing she said is we all have our strengths, we all have our weaknesses. You know, how you play your role in that in your family goes a long way. So the point of it is supporting the cause overall. And she told the women that they support their men as the kings that they are so they can continue to flourish and do what they need to do. But also while women have to play that great role as well. So to answer your question, I think some do, but I think there's a lot of women, unfortunately, that have not been presented the correct lessons to make things work and they know how to actually treat men.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed, man, and I've been getting rid of, and I didn't ever pay attention to it, but for some reason I've been seeing some videos, and I'm tired of people preaching how and bashing the other side, bro. I don't like that. I've never been part of that because you go nowhere. Because it means when you start bashing the other side, all you're doing is taking out your anger and your bitterness. And anger and bitterness is not going to get you anything positive or constructive. It's just not. And I think a lot of us are walking around on both sides of the fence, carrying that, acting like we're not, but displaying it all day and all night. I mean, whoever hurt you, damn, get over it. Get over it. I mean, you really do. As an adult, you have to get over it. I mean, I was I was reading something the other day. Let's talk about grieving. And this could be anything of hurt of magnitude. It can take you a solid 90 days to get over hurt pain. So if you turn away from someone, if you've been in love with someone for a period of time or someone did some damage to you, and you tell yourself in a week or two, I'm done. No, you're not. You're not. Years later, you're still carrying on with all that and acting like it's not affecting you. And it's surfacing in your life every single day with this animosity, this ill will. And I don't want to be part of that. I don't. I just don't. So I'm like, I tell them, I don't want to see these videos. I don't want to see that. I don't want that. And it's funny how people gravitate to that, hearing people bash whatever. Mm-mm. We should be loving each other, loving each other. But yet, you know, somebody undone somebody wrong. Now I'm ready to, I'm going to get in this corner, everybody else and back. I was never about that. I never will be about that. So, you know, that's the thing I just find interesting. And then we wonder why we can't see eye to eye. You got to get rid of the old stuff that's holding you down. You got to put those back down. Let them go. Let that shit go. Your response to your question, DeMaurice.
Did we miss that this brother said he sat down and talked to Pam Grier?
Bro, I'm sorry, I didn't miss that. I'm telling you right now, I'm thinking in my mind, I got to do a car trip. We should all do a car trip. Go see Pam. He know Pam Grier. So we should go see her. That's what I'm thinking. But I'm like, you ain't dropping that. Ain't nobody act like no notice it, bro. Come on, man. Go ahead, Mr. D. Pam Grier.
I mean, they said, not only because Mr. Charles has talked to me about meeting Pam Grier, but the encounter he had with Pam Grier is like,
oh,
what? She's more than a woman. More than a woman. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But anyway, whew, I almost forgot what I had to say. But you keep reminding me of that Pam Grier. anyway, I think when you talk about black women, and I'm going to specify, I think that sometimes we always think, you know, you can't hit a girl, you got to be respectful, all this other stuff. But I'm not sure that our counterparts are getting the same messages because we're having all these relationship problems. It's problems on both sides. I'm not going to say that it's all the women's fault, all the men's fault. It's problems on both sides. But when you've been taught how to treat a woman and you're not getting that same treatment back, and to me it's more what they expect from a man. They expect to be wine and dine. They expect to be taken care of or protected. They're expected to be, you know, taken care of as far as financial and the protector and all this stuff. But I'm not hearing what's coming back to what a man needs. And I remember having this conversation with my daughter, and she was saying how, you know, her mate should understand her and, you know, talking to some people to help her understand who she is and all that stuff. And I just said to her, I said, what about him? What are you doing to understand him? I said, because it takes two. And she was like, pause, said, yeah, that's right. So I think we need to do a better job if we're, you know, I don't know if it's being done now with younger people, but, you know, how to treat each other. But we really need, as the older generation, as a more seasoned generation, we really need to stop you know, following all the distractions and get with these younger people on how to treat each other so that they have a fair chance to make it with each other. Because I'm not sure if we're giving those messages to the women. That's it. This is how you treat a man. I mean, a real man, not just any idiot coming off the street that you like or you're liking their pictures and all that. Here's how you treat each other in order to make it work. And so I think it needs to happen on both sides.
No, I agree with that. I agree. I think it's long been, you know, here's a phrase, let's say this before I come to the question real quick, Mr. Charles, that I think that where we kind of missed the boat You know, when people would say a good man, a good, what makes a good woman a good woman, a good man, a good man? And they would tell you, go get yourself a good woman, per se. And a woman should just be good by nature, and a man should just be good by nature. But to a lot of women, a good man is that, like you said, he's going to provide and do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And I've said this numerous times, you know, you can be on dates, man, and they'll sit, they don't even know you for 10, 15 minutes. And they'll tell you what they want. I want this. I want somebody I can do this with. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're sitting there as you're eating your salad thinking, okay, what, when's she going to get to saying, I'm willing to be this to him? I want it. And it never comes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It never comes. It just, yeah, it never, it just, you don't hear that because they think long as they're being tended to, that's enough. And they don't, and this is harsh to maybe understand, and I say to Wallow all the time, they don't view you as having emotional feelings. They just don't. They don't. They don't view you as having. Now you all have as much as they have, but they don't see you as being needed to be cared for, loved, tender. It's just those things are just way over the stratosphere that they don't see, and realistically, they don't really want love. They don't, because they just want what they want, and love is not necessarily the center of it. Your question, Mr. Charles.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm trying to see how I can phrase it. We've all experienced, had different experiences as men and relationships and whatnot. Even a couple men on here have been married. So with that being said, when you think about a woman that can be your mate or even somebody you want to be involved in a relationship with, how has the expectations or your requirements changed to what you expected earlier in your life compared to now? What are some of the differences?
I'll say this. I think if a man has been married before and has been divorced, or even he's been married the first time, I don't think, I'll speak for myself, I don't know if you go into a lot of expectations. There's certain things that you know that you want to try to accomplish, you want to do. You know, as a man, you kind of have these ideas, these visions, and you might bring, or you should bring them to her, and you two, you know, she has hers, you make them blend, and you go there. And you realize that from that, our expectations are just not worth it, bro. Expectations are just, to me, fantasies that may never get fulfilled when it comes to love. I'm just being honest. Because they're expecting something of you, you're expecting something of them. So for me, coming away from the marriage, I realized my expectations of you, I want to see you for who you are. And either I can rock with you or I can't. And you should be able to do the same with me. And I'm not looking for you for any expectations. I'm not looking for you to be X, Y, Z. There are certain things I like to have from you. But I think marriage teaches some people that to where, no, then marriage tells some people, okay, the next one's got to, he's got to be this or she's got to, no. You know, it just said to me, expectations are fantasy. They're fantasy, bro. That they may never be fulfilled. And we keep looking to fulfill those expectations. And if you can't fulfill your own, don't expect anyone else to fulfill some for you. So I don't know if that kind of definitely lands with an answer to the question, but I mean, for me, when I came away from it, I just realized, no. I mean, I can't expect, you know, the next one to be that's going to deliver something the first one couldn't deliver. But I need to know if you're going to be in that space, you know, we're going to be doing this together. We need to kind of walk the path together. We have to walk it together and be together. And that path involves a lot of different things, communication, you know, openness, support. It involves a lot. Those aren't expectations. Those are just what's needed. Your response, D. Maurice.
Well, I found out what I did not want. I know that. So when I see it, And I'm like, oh, no, 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 that's not what I want. So I know immediately that, you know, you need to back away. And they don't even know it. The women that I'm engaged with, they don't even know it. I don't tell them, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. I just know when I see it, this is not what I want in a relationship, because I see where it's going. As far as expectations, my expectations are not kind of like this unrealistic expectations. I expect to be treated with respect and to be able to communicate and to be able to be understood as I'm trying to understand. And I want to be respected as a man. That's my expectation. And so they're not really kind of lofty expectations where, you know, they're unrealistic and that, you know, you're never going to be able to reach them. But I expect peace. I want peace. I know peace is not always going to be there, especially with people who they don't want peace. They want problems all the time. But that's something that I see. I see if you got problems all the time, I can't. That's my expectation. I want peace. Let's strive towards peace in every situation that we're in. So I do have expectations, but I don't have those lofty expectations that are unrealistic expectations that people are never going to reach. I just want things that we should all have, needed to be loved, needed to be understood, needed to be supported. And like Mark said, it's really not an expectation. It's something that we should be trying to give to each other, just being good people. So I think to answer your question, it wasn't an expectation that I see in the next person. It's just I see things that I learned my lesson. And I wanted, because I was talking to somebody about this show not too long ago, we're not perfect men. So we've been in relationships where we didn't do everything right. And so it's not like we're bashing women or, oh, you did this, you did that, and that's why we do it. No, we both came to a mutual stance that we weren't good for each other. So we had to walk away from the situation. And I've seen that in my past relationships. But what I've learned, and especially when I was married, is that, you know, I was sitting there and I was just calculating in my mind, this is not what I want. This is not what I want. And if I ever get a chance to have another relationship, I'll be able to recognize it much sooner, so I wouldn't be caught in that same situation again. Because some of that stuff was kind of hidden until I got into you know, getting married and made that commitment, and then the real beast came out. So I was able to kind of look back at before I got married and say, you know what, I needed to see the signs. I needed to see this as a sign of what will be after we cross this threshold. And so when I enter a relationship now, my eyes are wide open to, and women need to know this. When you're dating me, you're on a, how can I put this delicately? You treat it like a job interview. I'm checking everything out. You might not think I'm checking everything. I'm checking everything of what you say, how you do, how you treat other people. I'm noticing everything, and I'm not letting things go by. Well, oh, she just did that because, you know, she's trying to be funny, or she's in a mood or anything. No, I'm checking everything out like a job interview, and if you don't interview well, we don't continue.
Good job, man. Seriously, check it out.
It's a job, baby.
Wow, I'm not that serious. Because to me, what's really gonna stand out is gonna stand out. I don't even have to look. My instincts tell me eventually what it is, what it's not, whatever the case may be. And no one is going to kind of line up and be 100% authentic. It's just not. I'm not 100% authentic. So I don't really make it that stringent, but there are certain, you know what I mean? And then you, being a quick reader, quick analyzer, you kind of see where it's coming from. Your response, Mr. Charles?
I guess for me, when I mentioned expectations, a part of it does go into, does the person really understand the basics of respect and things that go along with a relationship? Because for as much as I'm one that would love to think that everybody does, they do not. They do not. There are a number of people, some women, that have not, they don't understand what it's like to treat somebody with decency. And because they haven't been treated decently in a relationship. So, yeah, I think that goes a long way. And it's not so much about you got to be this perfect person, because nobody's perfect. But there are expectations as to how you dive into something. Dino East mentioned about the job interview. I'm kind of like that, too. Because once I'm in it, I'm in it. I'm not perfect, but I will fight to the damn end. You're my teammate, and I can't. And I'm not going to cut you. We're gonna roll and do what we got to do to make this. We're going to become winners. So the question is, are we ready to do that together? And some people are just, unfortunately, have not had that experience, and they are very shallow. And then also the point, too, is to remind individuals that I'm not the dude that did that to you, right? So I wasn't that dude. This is brand new, supposed to be fresh. I'm not that guy. I didn't do that to you. I know how much you may be hurt. You feel all men do this, and then if that means if you feel that way, you're not prepared to move forward in another relationship. Same way goes for men. So when I talk about expectations, more or less like not just taking for granted that, oh, they should do these certain things because that's what should happen. Nah, because there's some really, and I might be one of them, there's some really messed up people, man, that went through hell in a handbasket. So I'm like, you know, I'm checking them. Did you turn her head through to the left? Nah, that's a bad, she got a bad neck. Yeah, I tell you, she got a kick in it. You know? I'm like, Dee Marie, she might be on some damn medication. I got to tell you.
She's a hard brother. She's a hard brother, man.
This is the real deal, bro. Look, bro.
It is,
know,
man.
I mean, for real.
What it's
can we keep this 100? Come on. Okay, I'm going to keep
absolutely.
This 100.
I'm absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm probably gonna get in trouble, so I'm gonna do this real quick. If the three of us, and I'm just gonna, maybe I'm speaking for myself, it wouldn't be hard for me if I really was intent on going out just connecting with a woman and just dating or whatever, just because that's not hard. Because I understand that and I have a little gift for gab. I can pick up a woman, I can connect with a woman. That's what I wanted. But I want more than that. If I want company, I can get company.
Mm-hmm.
I think, right? Anyway, I don't know.
Yep.
If I want company, I can do that. But I want more, bro. I want more. So that's why I talk about the things that I talk about. If I just want somebody to be next to me and whatever, and I'm just hanging out, we watch the same programs every week and do the things we do together, and then I get our physical on, that's easy, man. But I want more. So that's why I mention that.
No, I got that, man. I'm going to say this, and you two are much more harder than I am. I'm just going to say that in teacher's own, realistically. But I remember something, man. We did this show. I think our initial show was like 5 or 6 years ago. And I always remember this, Mr. Charles, right? And I may not say it word for word, but I remember you saying, you know, a lot of times, men, we give up on a woman and we complain about her maybe not doing some things. And we can kind of get them around to do some things. Like you said, you gave an example. I do remember the example you gave. And you gave it like, you know, she ate, you know, she might gain weight. Hey, take her to the track, walk with her, help her out, as opposed to talking about it. And that always stuck with me. It did. And I think for me, sometimes I allow people to be who they are. And everybody you meet, you're not going to kind of connect with. There's some things, man, get better over time. If you give it the time. There's some things that just improve. You know, of the times in my life that I've spent time, quality period of time with folk, and there have been some things, man, that in the beginning I looked at and might have irritated the hell out of me and make note of it and said in my head, it's probably not going to change. But before I kind of maybe understood or kind of really focused on it, bruh, it turned. So I say that to say, for me, you know, no one is going to kind of, I don't bring out the checklist. I don't check off, and I do that so harshly because people are people. I mean, there's a lot of screwed up people out there. I'm not going to undercut that and say that. And everyone that you meet is not going to be that person that you can walk down the road with, if that's impossible as well. But to me, what I've noticed in my life throughout a period of time, just meeting people in general, I've met some good people. Now, were they worthy of being, you know, Mrs. Elliott? No. Would I want them? No. But didn't mean some of the qualities that they had, I didn't enjoy and being around, and it was good for the moment. So, and then sometimes it developed into being something where it may have gotten better long term. So all I'm saying is, for me, I give that air. I give it air. I give it a possibility. Now, if it's something that I know that it has no chance of, you know, of being anything worthy of my time, then I'm absolutely, I don't even spend any time with. But a lot of times I think, you know, I don't want to be harsh to where, you know, I'm sitting there going, okay, she did this wrong here, whatever. And even the medication, bro, there's a lot of people, and here again, it's just me, but there's a lot of folks on medication, man. And you may not find out till later, man. There's a lot of people dealing with anxiety issues, whatever the case may be, they are. It just is what it is. So it's almost like, to me, dealing with someone now that's not taking medication is like trying to find someone that doesn't have children. You can have all these set rules, but some things you have to give them because it is what it is. Somebody, you know, some people aren't strong in certain areas as others. But on our couple of minutes we got left, I want to throw a quick question out to you, too, real quick, man, and give you like a minute to answer both. You know, if you could marry someone, it could be a celebrity. You're going to take out a celebrity. Don't do Pam Grier because, you know, we all like Pam Grier. You can't bring her up, bro. But you can marry this person. And she couldn't speak. She could only be with you but never talk. Who would it be, Mr. Charles?
Why do you have to come to me first? Damn. Anyway, first person. You know what? Oh, my God. I got 12 seconds. So many things going in my mind. The hell with it. I'm going to roll with my girl. D. Maurice knows exactly where I'm going because something about her. She quirky. She crazy. May not be for everybody, but damn it, she's for me. Tracy Ellis Ross. Let's get it. Let's get it. I love her.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, now, I see you with that one. I see you with that one. I see you. Because to me, when you say she can't talk, there's got to be something about her. Every time you look at her, no matter what she does, you're just gonna be basking in that beauty, bro. You're going to be basking in that beauty. It's funny because her name doesn't pop up that often, Tracy Ellis Ross. So I kind of hear you with that one. D. Maurice, who you have, Ross?
Man, the first person that came to mind is Salma Hayek. She's an older Latina lady.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Even if I didn't understand what she was saying in Spanish. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That look. Woo, that woo, look woo. She has.
Woo.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Two good choices.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, there's something special about her. I'm going to take someone that Mr. Charles threw out a while ago, man. I can't help but grab her, man. Every time this thought was in my head, this question, she just kept popping up in my face. I might say her first name wrong, but Samara Sanana Lathan, those eyes, that face, she's never have to talk, bro. Never have to say one word. I never say nothing. Every day, just be that. That's all I need. Gentlemen, we get together next week. We'll do it again. In the meantime, y'all stay safe, stay black, and like I said earlier, next week we're going to spend some time talking about pornography. Damn, that should be interesting.